Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Mrs. Ruby Shuttlesworth Bester, and this is a quote from her dad: "The best thing we can do is be a servant of God. It does good to stand up and serve others." This is from the late civil rights icon, Reverend Fred L. Shuttlesworth, born March 18, 1922, and passed on to continue the struggle October 5th, 2011. My special guest today is Ms. Ruby Shuttlesworth Bester, the second oldest daughter of the late civil rights icon, Reverend Fred L. Shuttlesworth. Ruby Shuttlesworth Bester is a retired educator, motivational speaker, author, singer, and I'm giving her the title of a community social activist. Ruby Shuttlesworth is always at the forefront of historic moments and movements and works tirelessly to keep his story alive. Welcome to In the Know, Ruby. You're live on the line.
Hey, Mo. It's so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you.
And I am so happy to have you here because we are celebrating several things. We're celebrating Women's History Month. We're celebrating the march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, which is today. And we're celebrating history. We're celebrating Black history 365/24/7. And I just want to welcome you because today marks the 56th anniversary of the historic march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. And I know if it wasn't for the pandemic, you and I would be holding hands in Selma.
Yes, yes. That's what we do.
Yes. So tell us, my listening audience, some things that are going on. We've been following in Chicago. You would think that you lived here in Chicago because I have pastors on the line. I have that are listening in live on the line because you are a historian. The family are historians. And it's, you know, the history is not going to be told or read in the book. So we're dealing with oral history, and the best as we can do is to educate and elevate the minds of our people.
Yes, most definitely.
I want you to take the floor and give us some insights of what's going on.
Well, first of all, God is good. He's always taking care of his people, and Lord knows we are his people. I want to talk to you about three things today. And before I get started, I'm just going to briefly say what they are. And then your listeners, and thank you, listeners, can ask me any questions that you like. Number one, COVID-19, to say to each of you, please get vaccinated. My husband, Harold, my sister, Pat, and my brother, Fred, we were all vaccinated today at CentOS Center. We're just getting back from that, in fact. So please, we need to get vaccinated.
We saw you live.
Getting vaccinated?
Yes, we saw you live. Thanks to Reverend.
God ain't number good. But anyway, we need to do that because we have to save ourselves. A lot of people have misinformation. They say it was a Tuskegee Airmen that they did the mischief to. There were some people, men in Tuskegee, that they did not give the vaccination to, and that's why they suffered. Everybody's getting this vaccinated, so please get them. We need to save our children. And that's a black, white, whatever color. It's a pandemic worldwide. The second thing I want to talk about, Kay and Fred Lee Shuttlesworth, my parents, will celebrate their 100, had they lived, birthday on March the 18th and May the 31st. And we're going to celebrate that. And what do I want to say about that? I'd like you to please get involved. And you can go to my website at shuttlesworth-bester.com. There will be more information on it there. You can text me or email me at rkflsbester30@gmail.com. RK, Ruby K, FLS, Bradley Shuttlesworth, and then bester30@gmail.com. And the last thing I want to talk about, and during this year, during the year of 2022, we will have a Zoom for an hour on Daddy's birthday and on my dear's birthday. And then on 5/28, my son will do a play that he has written. It will include songs that he has written and poems from my brother Fred and my sister Carolyn at that time. If we can have an audience, we will, but if not, we're going to do it COVID style. And then we're going to have a souvenir book to commemorate this year. You can get all of this information on the website later. And then the third thing I want to talk about, and I'm sure you'll have questions, is God's grace and mercy to me, the second daughter of Ruby K and FLS. He was good to us in 1956 when our house was bombed, 1957 when we were attacked at Phillips High School trying to integrate, 1961 when we went to Highlander and we were taken off the bus and jailed. 1965 was a good year because I married the love of my life. In fact, June 12th, it would be 56 years. And
wow.
And then in 1971, we lost our mother. And then in 2011, we lost our daddy. And then from 2016 to 2018, my husband had 6 surgeries in 3 years. And then in 2019, I had 3 surgeries. And then I just put it all together. From 2000 to 2001, we've all been in this together. We have been dealing with COVID. So that's what I wanted to say, and I'm open to take your questions.
Well, one question, this is from Calumet City. This is from Sean. He wants to know, as first of all, he said, I want to thank you for being on the show, and it's an honor to be able to listen from the words of a civil rights daughter. As a civil rights daughter, what were some of the trying things that you witnessed growing up?
Well, of course, we were bombed. After we were bombed Christmas night, we were moved immediately to my auntie and uncle Josh's home. Carolyn stayed with a member of the church who had a child her age, but Pat, Fred, and I went to Auntie and Uncle Josh's house in Inslee. And that's where we stayed. But then Daddy went to the A.G. Gaston Motel where they stayed. Well, after that, we were, but in that new home call, we had to be guarded. And there were guards across the street at Mr. Smiley's house, guards to the right of us at Mr. and Mrs. Bedell's house. But the main guard house was next to us on the left at Mr. James, Deacon James Revis' home. And then they built a guard house in our backyard of the new parsonage. And only thing left now is just the stone that it set off. But we were guarded. We got threatening calls all during the night, during the day. There might be a whistle. There might be somebody cursing. It could be anything. Like, some of them were funny. It's rather than the city or the county jail. And we'd laugh, but you know what? Whether they blew a whistle, screamed obscenities, we were taught you better hang that phone upright. You cannot talk nasty to anybody that talks nasty to you. So we had a job to do because Daddy wouldn't have it any other way. But amid all of that, there was so much love and care and a determination by people to be free. We worked together so well, and God was on our side. So I had many more good experiences as a child in Birmingham. We got there when I was 8, and we left there when I graduated from high school, May 31st, and came to Cincinnati, where we later went, where we went to Revelation Baptist Church. But I want to thank the people from Revelation because we were a mess when we came. We had been bombed. A lot of stuff had happened. We were just, I used to say, wretches undone. And they were so loving and caring to us as a family. And it was just good to just pause, just not have to be watched, not have to have people take you where you had to go. We were, I guess you say, to be free. My girlfriend, Frances, she always said to me, because I ask her about things, and she'll say, you don't remember because you were not there, or I told you about it, because even though we couldn't, we had to have guards. If we didn't have guards to take us places, or if Daddy didn't think we could be safe, we couldn't go. So Frances, who is my best friend, my blood sister, fills me in on a lot of stuff. Frances Foster White. But all in all, the Lord was with us, and I enjoyed every minute of my time at Bethel. As those from the 8th through the 16th when we were at Bethel, and then Revelation, where we were there from 61 to 65. And during 65, June 12th, I married Harold Bester. And then in 1966, we established the Greater New Light Baptist Church, and we've been there serving on that hill ever since. But like I say, it has not been wonderful and uneventful, but it has been marvelous to be used by the Lord to show that all men deserve human dignity and should be treated with that same dignity that is guaranteed by our Constitution.
And I just want to say this morning, as I tuned in to Reverend Stevie Bester, I mean, he was on fire. I thought he was going to come through the screen this morning. I mean, he was fired up. He was fired up. I mean, he was speaking truth to power. You know,
people are saying,
I can't wait to church to open up. The church is right here in front of you. While you're playing solitaire, you might as well tune in to Reverend Bester on Sunday morning. Because I look at him, then I go to my church. But, I mean,
This is 8:45 this morning, right? Yes. God is so good.
Then in turn, he got you all ready for that COVID shot. We have a caller here. Let's take this caller.
Okay.
Welcome to In the Know with Mo. You're live on the line. This is Catherine.
This is Catherine speaking. Good afternoon.
Hi, Catherine. Good afternoon.
Hi.
You're live on the line. Ruby, I want you to meet Catherine Galloway. Catherine Galloway is a daughter of the struggle. And go ahead, Catherine.
All right.
Tell them your story.
My story starts actually with my father, who was one of the ministers out of Selma, Alabama, that was actually moved there from the Methodist Church that put him there in 1957. Being the youngest, I'm Catherine Galloway. Reverend George Dunn Galloway is my father.
Okay.
He was one of the actual ministers who worked with Reverend Shannon and Reverend Anderson to put together the youth program. I did have a question for you before I go into who my father was and what I'm about, Mrs. Ruby, if you don't mind.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, dear.
The question that I have for you is, do you feel that we are somewhat better now than when our fathers who were fighting for justice, considering that George Floyd hearing starts tomorrow, do you feel that we are somewhat better now than we were when our fathers were fighting?
Yes, we're better because the laws have changed. We are so much better. We have the phones that will take pictures of the injustices that are going on. Yes, we are better because we are able to do more. Our hands were tied. There were laws that restricted the integration of people even to sit down and play checkers in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go to different schools. But now we are there, and the thing that we have to teach our children is be the best you can be while you are there and learn. But, yes, we are better. The city, the country is racism. It has been so obviously shown by the number of deaths alone, the hospitalizations during COVID. We have always been at the back of the line, the back of the bus, the back of whatever, because it was set that way. A long time ago in Congress, the Southern Democrats, the Southern members of Congress made up of something. The Southern aristocrats have been doing negative things toward black people for a long time. And it's time that we restore. Like when I saw on the news that the minimum wage had been passed with no Republicans, I thought, oh, wait a minute. $15 an hour is only $31,000 a year. Right now, it's $7.25, which is half of that. How can you make that kind of money and say that you should get this? The man said it last night, for those small businesses that cannot, we will give you tax credit. If there's a will, there is a way. And people in Congress, especially the Republicans, need to look at their heart. If I have it, I should want you and your family to have it too. And that's just how I look at that. Fair is fair. We saw George Floyd. We saw the man's life being taken. And it's not right.
Yeah.
It's just not
right.
It reminded me of a public lynching. That's why we never use the word picnic, because picnic was a term for lynching of a black person, okay?
That's right.
We always say cookout at Greater New Life. But yes, we're much better. But we still have a long way to go because it's a hard thing. But what I was so gratified about is not only where he was killed, all over this country and all over the world, people's hearts were evident. They protested. They marched. And I think we're on an upswing. It's just up to us to stay nonviolent. I mean everybody. Nonviolent and work it out. And we can do it. There was a lady at our church, Mrs. Starks, one wonderful lady, really took care of children a lot. She said to me once that the Lord gave everybody 5 senses, but to his people, he gave one more, and that was common sense. Okay?
That's right.
And that's what we need to exhibit and show. People not wearing masks, people saying that the state's open. What's up with that? Do they see that 500,000 people have died? You know, we can be foolish. We can be wise.
And I wanted you to meet Catherine, and I'm going to try to persuade her if we have our family reunion, because I met Catherine and Selma standing outside of Brown's Chapel as we were arguing about going inside. And she's an author also. She has several books. And and her father at one time was a pastor or spoke at Brown Chapel. But we met and we've been friends and connected to the hip ever since, because she is.
I love it.
I think it was your father spoke when Dr. King, I Have a Dream, but her mom was pregnant with her.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So
in 1963.
Yes. When they actually did the march, I was actually in her belly, because I was born on the 30th of March,
They finished the march on the 25th of March. So, yes. Yes, ma'am.
God is so good.
Oh. So that was my reason for asking that, because I was just a little bit concerned, because I often wonder if there's not cameras and if there's not television, would there be a change for real? Because I looked, Bloody Sunday was filmed because all of the news reporters were there. Had the news reporters not been there, there would not have never been a Bloody Sunday. And that's how I look at all of the cases as far as with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. If there was any video, it would be the same thing. That was the reason behind my question, because if we didn't have the filming and the videos, would it be our word against the police word? And it's almost the same pattern repeating itself.
Yeah,
and
well, it is, but not visible. Would you do me this favor? I'll give you my email, and I want to know the history of your dad and my dad and the things that they did, because I'm doing a book. It's entitled 1922 to 2022, and I want to write down what was done in the various cities that he lived and the leaders that worked with him. Too often we acclaim Dr. King as the only person that our newspapers, the only person that ever fought for civil rights is Dr. King, no? And Reverend C.K. Steele was in Florida. Reverend Shulver was in Birmingham. Reverend Abernathy was in Atlanta. Reverend Y.T. Walker. We need to do more to let our children know that many people have fought. Many people had to. You don't have a march with two people, okay? Met a young man named Andre Conti at Highlander, where we went in 60, and I went back trying to do some research, and he was telling me that of the things that he had done, and people need to know that there are young people like this young man doing a lot of good things. People need to know. We need to have a network of good things for black folk, good things for all folks. Good thing for Hispanic folks, because people don't know how to get the help that they need. If not help, encouragement to just to try to do better. We need to set that up. But please share with me your information on your father.
I'll make sure that I exchange that by email to both of you.
Okay,
wonderful.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Catherine.
I just wanted, you know, you spoke on the issue that people only know of Dr. King, and that's true, but people fail to realize, and we know, Shuttlesworth, Reverend Fred, put his life in danger on several occasions throughout the civil rights era. His house was bombed, and he and his wife were beaten. He endured constant threats by whites who wanted no part of integration. And then Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. came to Birmingham at Reverend Fred's request. This is what people have to understand. Yes. And so together they organized marches and believed the nonviolent protest. You know, it's just so much. If people put down their phones from solitaire and read the history, you know, it all goes back to Bull Connor, the dog attack, the water hoses. I mean, it's so much more. The last time we were in Selma together was the 50th anniversary of the March Across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, when President Obama honored Reverend Fred. When I returned to my bus, when I returned to our bus was covered with Ku Klux Klan flyers.
What?
And it still goes on. And I've kept one of the flyers. I still have a flyer. So the march is not over yet. Our march is yet not finished. The struggle still continues. And people in Selma still do not vote. They're still not voting.
They're still not
voting like they should vote.
Well, I think a lot of times it's the lack of knowing what to do. It's a lack of knowing how to do it and the ability to get to the place. Things have been set up to make it hard for us to vote. They are even enacting laws as we speak in many states after this election that we just had so that they can keep us, keep the vote depressed. We can't allow that. We have to show up, souls to the polls, whatever we need to do. In the black folks' vernacular, we say if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, just keep on inching along. And that's what we do. But we got young people now that's moving and grooving. But let's move and groove in the right way, leaders. Keep the attitude of the people of the 50s and the 60s. We shall overcome by nonviolence, by speaking truth, by doing what is right. I don't care if they do throw coffee on you, as the sit-ins had. You don't fight back. You are trying to change the law because these were laws on the books. And the only way to change a law was to actually break the law, go to court, and then have it adjudicated. We integrated, we tried to integrate Phillips in 1957. Reverend Pfeiffer was driving, my mother was in the middle, and Day. And in the back was Nathaniel Lee, my sister Pat, and I. When we pulled up, the mob crowd was there, but thank God Howard A. Smith was videotaping. And he saw my daddy being beaten with chains and beaten in front of the car. And my mother got out. It's a picture of her. They don't show her being stabbed, but she was stabbed in the hip. And then I tried to get out, and somebody closed the door on my ankle. And one man in Daddy's speeches said, we thought we had gotten this SOB before. And like Daddy says, SOB was not sweet old boy. But they intended to get him then. They took us to the hospital. And my sister, there's a picture of Pat standing with Daddy at the hospital in the where the baggage thing. It's a nice display on Daddy at the Birmingham Shelter Airport. And he was patting her face. And he said to her, Pat, you okay? Pat said, I wish I had taken a fork. But if she had taken a fork, there's nothing she could have done. And he explained it to her. Daddy wrote a list of 10 things that anybody who participated in any demonstrations or work with the movement, they were God-based, and I need to give Maureen a copy of them, and perhaps she can read them. But at the very bottom, if I sign and I pledge to do this, now if I cannot be nonviolent, control myself, I can take food, take people to different places. In other words, we want you to participate. But if you can't do it the way we are doing it, nonviolent, you can do something else. Everybody was included. And it came out that 16th Street was not the start of what happened. They want to say it was because the children were bombed. But they were bombed in 1963. You know, what was going on in 1955 when we came in 53 and Daddy started first by trying to get black policemen. He went in the area of housing. Everything that we were not given dignity and human rights, he protested. When the thing for the schools, they said, with all deliberate speed, you should integrate. But Daddy said, I'm going to test it. And that's why we got in that car on September 57. Thing that was beautiful, that the leaders worked together. The next year, that same year in 57, when we were integrating Birmingham schools, there were schools being integrated other places, but the media does not talk about it.
No.
You know, they're up in Nashville, in Knoxville. There are so many heroes, but we only talk about one, and we need to share with our children what happened because we do have a history. It's just not been taught in our schools, and it has not been written. But it's going to get better. We can't expect people to do it.
Here in Chicago, the rush on teaching history is that they want to teach the same-sex parenting, LGBT, QRXYZ history, and they're saying it's a must to be taught. I have a statement from Sharon from here in Chicago. She says she wants to thank you and loves the program. Thank you, Sharon. She says, I'm an educator, a teacher in the Chicago public schools. We are not teaching our children how to do cursive writing. What's happening with that? And I'm going to tell you, Sharon, thank you. I'm going to tell you what's happening with that. The slaves could not write. The slaves could not read. In order for the slaves to okay their signature, they had to make the sign of the X. These children are growing up not able to read handwriting, cursive handwriting. They don't know how to do cursive handwriting. So it's all about control. You want this here, or let's get the sign of the X.
Control.
We have another caller here, Ruby. All right. Hi, welcome to In the Know with Mo. You're live on the line with Ruby Shuttlesworth. Is this Martise?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Maureen. How you all doing?
Hi. Just fine. Martise,
hi.
Ruby, I want you to meet Martise and Catherine. These are children of the civil rights, their parents and grandparents. Martise, tell Ruby a little something about your grandmother.
It wasn't my grandmother. It was my great grandmother. She was a civil rights activist in Mississippi. And she worked with Stokely Carmichael. Trying to register black voters to vote. And after the Bloody Sunday, when Dr. King, called the freedom fighters and activists to come march in Selma, she answered his calling, and she marched across the Edna Pettus Bridge in 1965. January 11, 1966. After they passed the Voting Rights Act in August 1965, a lot of people don't know when they passed the Voting Rights Act in 1965, they were still denying black people the right to vote.
Even put something in the Constitution. It bothers me that they are even dealing with the Voting Rights Act today. It should stand. Again, it's the appeasement of the Southern people. We should be fair to all those people. There should not be relitigation of a law that you've already set in place. They had stipulations that they were going to watch those states that had been mean and taken away the voting right, but they didn't do that. Look at the states that are we now bringing back. But it's we need to look at our politicians and examine their hearts.
And I think what happened with Martise's great grandmother in the process of fighting for the voters' rights, she was killed.
So what happened was they passed the voting rights in 1965, but they still were not allowing them to vote in the South. So January the 11th, night after the march, Senator Kennedy had a hearing, Bobby Kennedy had a hearing in Jackson, Mississippi. He wanted to hear the testimonies on voter rights suppression. So five of them drove up to Jackson, Mississippi and gave their testimony on how they still were being denied the right to register to vote. And on their way back home, the Klan forced their car off the road near Greenwood, Mississippi. And she was 57 years old. She was decapitated, and a 7-8-year-old teacher was decapitated.
So how many people were killed?
It was five people in the car, one white college student from Boston. The two women were murdered. And so, by murder by domestic terrorists. And,
right,
and they decapitated them. Right, and they decapitated them, you know, to send a signal, you know, send their message back to the black voters.
Yeah.
What was your great grandmother's name? What's your great grandmother's name?
Her name is Bertie Kegler. You know, we didn't give up. In June 1966, the black people voted. And also in June 1966, they voted out the sheriff who led in Selma, mm-hmm. who led the bloody Sunday march.
Yeah.
And like you said, they're still attacking voting rights. In 2013, the Supreme Court passed a law that gutted the preclearance of the Voting Rights Act. And what the preclearance mm-hmm. said was, in order for you to change your voting laws, you had to get approval from the federal government. So when they wiped mm-hmm. that out, that's when we started seeing an increase in the, you know, southern state changing laws. And because they gutted out the 1965 Voting Rights Act, that is why Georgia was able to go after the voting rights after Stacey Abrams and the new Georgia project delivered Georgia to the Democrats.
And mm-hmm. that's why, today is such a historic day. Thank you, Martise. I also had
Thank you, Catherine.
My other sister in the struggle.
We need to also know that it's another Supreme Court decision that's getting ready to come out in June, because they took a case in Arizona last week. And that's when they asked a lawyer for the Republican, why you bring this case? And they said because the black vote is delivering, you know, it's a victory mm-hmm. for the Democrat Party. But because it's Trump's Supreme Court, we are expecting them to finish off the Voting Rights Act.
And
well,
so
thank
that's
God
why,
for Joe
know,
Biden.
Yes, yes. So
No, he will do whatever is necessary. Joe Biden has done so much since he has been in office, and praise God for him. He's a Christian man.
We don't want to have to hold him accountable.
But we have to understand, it's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden can't do anything without the Senate. We just saw 8 Democrats vote against a $15 minimum wage. Our enemy right now is not only the Republicans,
it's the 8 Dixiecrats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the old word,
Dixiecrat.
It's an old word.
But it means you are against blacks, period.
But the southern blacks know who I'm dog whistling to the people from the south when I say Dixiecrat. They know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear more from you guys.
We spoke of that whistle earlier. I want to thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marty. Thank you.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate that information.
Yeah, so we have so much that's going on. I mean, and this today is really historic. I have you on the line. I have Catherine Galloway. I have Martise. These are women, and this is Women's History Month. Each one of these women that have spoke today are historians. They have her story to tell. I mean, Martise fights tirelessly for voting rights and voter registration. And, I mean, mm-hmm. we all were together, and I could barely walk in Washington for the march on Washington. And I got high. I got high as a kite in Washington because they smoked weed freely. And I got so high in the street that I didn't even need my cane anymore, you know. But it's so much going on. It is so much going on. And people fail to realize this generation, they don't know what it means. I mean, it's quicker to pull a gun to shoot you than it is to sit down and have a conversation. They could, this generation could not have stood the water holes. They could not stood the dog fights. They and
those children.
And
they were trained.
Marine, I was going to say, you know, this summer they took the rubber bullets. I think they could. It's just that voting rights is not their priority. You know, they focus on police brutality, but they took the bullets this summer. They went through a lot marching for George Floyd.
Oh yeah. They did, and we thank God for them.
It's going to be a hot summer, and I just want, I'm going to share Ms. Ruby's email with all of you because she is writing a book. And every time we go to Selma, you have met her, and we take pictures and stuff on everything. So I just want everybody to, you know, we have to have a format. We have to educate and elevate our people, not only our children, but there's so many older people that don't have a clue. One lady said she never knew about Emancipation Proclamation because it wasn't in the Bible. So we have to educate.
We can't look down because people don't know. I'm sorry, go ahead, dear.
I meant to say rubber bullets instead of water bullets. I'm thinking about the water hose. But, you know, I was talking to some co-workers that's in their 60s, and I realized the reason they don't know our history, because I didn't even think about it, the reason we know our black history, we live through it. They have black history. I didn't even think about that. I'm just thinking, you know, that they don't care anymore. They're not teaching the history that we went through.
We were taught at home. I was taught at home. I taught my own children at home before they went to school. So you have to teach your children. Parents want the teachers to teach, but the teachers are not teaching like I wanted my children to have a teacher like I would want, like for me. I taught my children at home about Christopher Columbus, Black history. They knew about everything before they went to school. And so being an educator in an all-Hispanic school, I had one child for Black History Month. Out of the blue, came up with a report, and he's grown now, but he wrote a Black history report on Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth. And I was and we are friends today. You have another call, Ruby, and we're running out of time, but let's take this call.
All right,
hello,
thank you,
caller.
Sweetheart.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're live on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to In the Know.
This is Dr. Robin Ford, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Ford. I was just about to talk about you, but I'm going to let you talk. Go ahead, sir.
No, it'd be better if you talk. I just want to... tell you that you could share that information about my letter to my board of trustees. Do you have it? Or I've got it here.
If you have it, why don't you read it? Thank you, sir.
Okay, just for brevity, to the board of trustees of Temple Christian University, this is unusual that I would expose a private letter. About 1 year from now, we should be joining the Shuttleworth family in celebrating the 100th year anniversary of this great patriarch and architect of the civil rights movement in the USA. Unfortunately, I knew more about his activities from a position in the United Kingdom than most of the Negroes I met on coming to America. I was honored to work with him in the Baptist Ministers Conference of Cincinnati and vicinity.
Yes.
The city of Cincinnati has established the Fred Shuttleworth Circle, north, south, and east, as the longest street in this city named after a person of African descent. Birmingham has and continues to celebrate its native hero as well. There remains, however, and this is my concern, a serious gap of knowledge in the minds of the people in the United States of America about the true history of this great nation. As a religious and academic institution, we have a duty and a calling to repair this breach. I would like to recommend that you, my trustees, join me as I commit myself to the leadership of one church and two CDC, that's a Community Development Corporation, a public charity here in Cincinnati, to make a significant effort to honor and lead in the execution of this exercise of celebration and education. Without knowledge, this nation will certainly perish. Not on my watch. I wish to acknowledge and thank the History Makers Organization for taking the lead in helping us to fill the gap. Attached is a link to a page on their extensive website which documents the biography of the Reverend Fred Shuttleworth. Let us take it to the next level. This should remain the next thing on our agenda. And there's a link. Click here to review the Reverend Shuttleworth's History Makers bio page. And I was merely calling in to see whether there was an email that we could get this to Sister Mo. Great work, sister.
I have an email, and I can give it to you now, or I can give it to Ruby, and she can share it with you.
If you want to share it, I can write it down right now, or Ruby, get it to me. What's your preference?
I can give it to you right now. My email is small letter N as in Nancy, THEKNOWMOE at yahoo.com. So that's N the no mo at yahoo.com. And I will make sure to do the best I can with media coverage because I also write for a newspaper here in Chicago.
Yes, because the History Makers Organization is compiling a lot of, there are about 3,300 biographies of African-American achievers in every sort of area, science and everything, including religion. And guess what?
I, too, am a history maker, and I accepted Reverend Fred's award for history maker. We're both history makers. In fact, I'm a relative.
Right.
And our history makers are in the Library of Congress in Washington. So you
Absolutely.
Go to History Makers and look up Maureen Forte, and you will see that I'm
a
history
you.
Maker.
I've got you. I know you're there. One other thing I want to say before I go. Regarding not teaching cursive handwriting, let me assure you that in the year of 1831, calligraphy, as we call it, by Negroes were written, the history of Union Baptist Church in July 1831. These people organized themselves, wrote minutes, structured them, and it's excellent calligraphy, and we'll find out how to get access to it because Smithsonian wanted to get it but didn't have it, but the Freedom Center in Cincinnati has those records in custody, and it was against the law to teach Negroes to read and write at that time. Yet these people
had high
literacy and excellent calligraphy, and I've been around the world, and I think it's world-class calligraphy, and we need to know this.
Yes.
Thank you.
And thank you for that, Dr. Ford, and I want to say on that cursive writing, I always said that your signature is your name written, not printed.
That's
okay?
right.
That means we must learn cursive so that we can sign our checks. If you want to print, that's fine, but there are times when you must write cursive. We had to write the X because we couldn't, but now we can. Okay? So we need to go back and teach those things that we know work. As I taught for 30 years, I heard a lot of programs to help people do things. But you know what? I learned the old basic way. You know, we didn't have calculators. We had the slide rule, the wooden slide rule. But we had to learn. We had to perform. And you did not turn in a paper to me, to teachers that cared. that was not neatly written, that was not dated, and not and was proofread before you turned it in. That was the requirement. Our kids now, when I retired, I did a little bit of studying, and I thought, wait a minute, this child does not know. But when you don't know, it's time for us to show. And we need to show it in love. We do a lot of criticizing each other. And I'm going to ask everybody on this listening area today, if you got something to say, think about how you say it. Because the reception of what you're saying will do or not do because of how you said it. We must always be encouraging each other because we're all we have. I did an interview called History and Hope, and I said to them, hope has been our forte from the beginning. We hope that the Lord will help us. In fact, in the old days, if you hear an older person in their 80s or 90s, they might say to you, oh, you hope me so much. And people will think, wait a minute, she's using wrong grammar. No, she's not. She was saying, you helped me, but as you helped me, you gave me hope to do more and to be better and to pass it on. And that's what we have to go back to. We got to go back to the old ways, depending on the Lord, trusting in each other, and being nonviolent, but always thinking what to do, how to do it, and how to best do it so that God is glorified. That's why we've been successful. The Lord has been on our side.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end of our show, and I want to thank everyone. I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank all the listeners from New Orleans, from Kansas, Chicago, Calumet City, I mean, they're Ohio, Cleveland, and Cincinnati are present. I want to thank all of you. I want to thank the special guests. I want to thank you, Pastor, Martise, and Catherine. Those are my sisters of the struggle. I mean, I couldn't do anything without Catherine and Catherine Galloway and Martise Chisholm. I mean, they are truly sisters of the struggle. And I told we need to write a book. I know Catherine is an author. And I will share all their information with you. So, I mean, it's amazing. Today, as we watch the March Across the Edmund Bridge virtually, for 22 years, I've taken a delegation to Selma.
Yes,
and this is probably the second time I haven't been there. So I want to thank you, Ruby. And for those of you that don't know, Ruby is my cousin. She's my cousin.
Yes.
And it's a long story. It's, you know, when the main matriarch breaks down and goes away and passes on, the family tends to break down. And you never know who you're related to till family problems arise. And I spent most of my young life in Cincinnati, Ohio, from kindergarten to high school and beyond, since I was sent there every year. But I want to just say thank you. And also, we honor those who walk so we could run. We must run so our children soar, and we will not grow weary. For we believe in the power of an awesome God, and we believe in this country's sacred promise. It has been an honor, and Ruby, I will be asking you to come back again. Maybe you and I can sit down and work out doing a show at least twice a month. Because our people need to know, and the only way they're going to know is for us to tell it. Our history is that of oral history. It's not going to be read in the book, because the way the pandemic is going, schools may be closed forever, but we can continue to educate and elevate the minds of children and adults.
Yes. Love.
Help your children.
That's the
main thing.
Please, God bless you. And don't let them fall. Yes. God bless all of you. Stay focused. You can listen to it, you know, with mom, with your guests, with Amy Dorte, and my special guest.
Check out shuttleworkbastard.com. Make sure you go to the home page. Look for the home page. There's plenty of information coming there.
Jesus. Yes,
He won't let you down. And I know.
blessings. Thank you. All the glory is yours.
We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love. He won't let you down.